Amen. I was just thinking, still thinking and processing things from the Bible study this morning. We didn't have much to say this morning, for sure. I was thinking of the relationship of you have not because you ask not. And how the children of Israel always, their tendency was always just to complain and to murmur rather than just say, God, would you help us out? And they just, you know, our tendency is the same way. We tend to fret. We get worried. We get all tied up in knots instead of just saying, Father, I know you know all things. I know you have all things under control. I need help. And letting him step in and bring the answers that you need. Instead, our tendency is to always just get tied up and our, you know, our nerves are on edge, our muscles are tight, we're tense because we're looking at it from, you know, I can't do this. Yeah, you can't. We're looking at it from our perspective instead of saying, okay, I can't do this, but I serve a God who can do anything and everything. And he's not limited by what I can think through and what I can do. And so many times we flounder and we struggle along. We have not because we didn't ask. We didn't come to him and say, hey, would you help me? And all it would have taken, you know, to have avoided sometimes weeks or months of fretting and worrying and just being all tied up in knots inside would simply have been to come to him in the first place and just say, I need help. I can't do this. You can. Please help me. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning and for each one that's here. Lord, I thank you for each heart, each precious soul. Lord, I pray that your word this morning would go forth in truth and clarity. Father, that it would encourage and strengthen and challenge each one of us where we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to continue on with looking at need of patience that we started last week. Last week we looked at the life of Noah and how it was necessary and important that he continue faithfully walking with the Lord, depending on the Lord, waiting for the Lord, and being obedient to the Lord through years of waiting and difficulty and trials and people making fun of him and all of those things. He had to stay committed to God and stay faithful and patiently waiting. I want to read again our little section of verses there from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. He says, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You have need of patience. So this morning I want to continue on looking at some of these Old Testament saints and seeing the working of God in their lives, and that they're using and needing patience. As we saw this morning in 1 Corinthians, Aaron likes to read sections that I'm about to go over. But he says, he was speaking about the miracles that Christ, that God did for the children of Israel, and speaking about their failure to follow and to obey. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 through 13, he says, "These things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition." So these things we read throughout the Old Testament leading up to the New Testament and the completed work of Christ on the cross and the coming of the Holy Spirit, those things were written for our learning, for our admonition, so that we could see the way things work and the way God works with His people in a physical representation. And he says, "These things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And we talked about that a few weeks back, about God not rescuing us out of situations, but giving us strength in the situation to be able to bear it. Bearing it doesn't mean that you don't have to see it or feel it or experience those things anymore. It means you're going to continue to experience and feel those things, but there's strength there available that you don't have to be overcome by it. And his statement there is that I think that that whole passage hinges on is God is faithful. That is what we must have as the basis to be able to have and to use and to display the patience that is needed to continue faithfully serving God, even when we don't immediately see the results. Even though this life does get long and difficult, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And in 1 Corinthians there he says, just the simple statement, God is faithful. God is faithful. That is the basis, the foundation on which you and I can have the motivation or the strength, the grace to be able to get up again tomorrow morning and faithfully serve. Even though we haven't yet received the fulfillment of the promises that have been left us. Even though we haven't yet received, you know, we're still waiting for a kingdom. We're waiting for a country whose builder and maker is God. We're longing for these things. They're our goal. All of our desires are bound up in these things, but we're not there yet. And we're not going to be for quite some time unless the Lord either takes us out of this life or returns today or tomorrow or sometime very soon. But we, as the basis and the foundation of this life of faith, as he says right the verse after that, that the just shall live by faith. What is that faith based on? God is faithful. God is faithful. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You can literally build your life on that foundation and hang all of your hopes and dreams and wishes and desires on that, because God is faithful. Amen. He will perform His word. He always has, and He always will. And as we look back through some of these Old Testament saints and the things that they experienced and the way that they saw and realized and proved again and again that God is faithful. Even as Noah that we looked at last week, how long into that year and 10 days of being in the ark would you and I have begun to go, is this ever going to stop? God, did you forget about us? You know, God is faithful. Noah had to hang on to that. Noah had to believe that at some point there would come an end of these trials and these difficulties and these hardships that he was going through, that the promise to preserve him and his family and his seed was going to be fulfilled. And he had to believe that and hold on to that patiently. So this morning, I want to look at the life of Abraham. And I'm going to start, we're going to kind of just skim over his life. I know, I'm sure that most of us well know, but I want to hit some key points because it's important for us to remember again, because it helps us. These things are written for our admonition so that we can learn to cling to this God of ours and say, God is faithful. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 8, we see kind of the beginning of God specifically working with Abraham on a personal note. Abraham was a man of God. Up to that point, he had been walking with God. He had been faithful. Now God wants to do something more with him, something special with him that he isn't doing with just every other person who's alive on the earth at this time, because Abraham found grace in the eyes of God. And Abraham was somebody who God specifically said, hey, I'm going to do some amazing, special things through you and your life and your descendants. So in chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, and unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Noah and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So here we see a man who has been walking with God, who is specially been chosen by God to be the one through whose lineage these promises that were made all the way back in the Garden of Eden when they fell, when mankind fell, and God said, I will send a deliverer. These promises are in the process of being fulfilled. And God has chosen Abram here to be a channel through which those promises begin to be fulfilled. And he makes these amazing promises, saying, you know, I'm going to give you all this land. I'm going to, he says, I'm going to make a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And those that bless you, them I will bless, and those that curse you, them I will curse. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. These are amazing promises. Okay, God said, go to Canaan and I'm going to do all this stuff. Great. Abraham picks up and he moves to Canaan. Did those promises immediately come to pass? No. He had need of patience. There was a long road between God saying, hey, get up, leave your home, leave your family, all the people that you know and love, and follow me and me only, and go to Canaan, and I'm going to do all these amazing things. There was a long road between that and those promises being fulfilled, and that road was the road of faithfulness and patience that Abraham had to walk. Believing that God knew what he's talking about, believing God's going to do what he said he will do, believing that God is faithful, but yet not seeing those promises fulfilled and coming to pass right away. as we go through the life of Abraham, we see that it doesn't seem like he's been in Canaan very long before there's this big famine. And guess what? Now he's down in Egypt just to survive. What happened to Canaan? What about this land that you promised to give me? Now this land's got drought and I'm down in Egypt living off of, you know, what they've got down there. And we see him walking this path, step after step, learning to trust and to follow God, and learning that God is faithful. But there's years as he walks along this path where he's simply patiently serving and waiting. He goes to Egypt. He's there for a while. He comes back to Canaan. There's not enough space. He separates from his nephew Lot. He gives Lot a chunk of land. Again, this doesn't seem like the promise is being fulfilled, because God promised to give me all this land, and here I am going, all right, well, Lot, there's not enough land for the both of us, so you go off that way, I'll go off this way, and we're, you know, just to have enough grass. What happened to all this land God will give me? It's not time yet for those promises to be fulfilled. Abram, you have need of patience. You have need of patience. God is faithful. If we skip on to Genesis chapter 15, the first few verses, we see Abram's been tested and proved and tried, and he's had hardships. He's remained faithful. He's trusted that God will keep his promise. Here we see now, years later, in chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if ye be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham trusted God is faithful. It's been years already since God originally gave this promise that he would give him this land and that he would multiply his seed and his generations. And Abraham's not getting any younger. He was already 75 years old when God made that promise to begin with, and he's not getting any younger, and this promise still isn't being fulfilled. He can't see it. He can't feel it. And here God says again, He reiterates the promise and he clarifies it more, and he says, "Hey, it's not going to be Eliezer. It's not going to be someone that you mentored and poured into. It's going to be your actual seed, and it will be fulfilled. It's going to happen." And Abraham believed God's word. Abraham said, okay, you said it. I can't see it. I can't feel it. It doesn't seem like it's happening. It's already been years since that first promise was stated. But I trust you. I believe you. And I will continue to hold on to and believe that God is faithful. And Abraham patiently kept waiting. We see on down in this chapter that let's see, verse 13 through 16. He said unto Abraham, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they will serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." Here, God is giving him a little bit of an understanding of the time frame of these promises beginning to be fulfilled. It's not even going to be fully fulfilled in your lifetime, Abraham, or Abram at this point, I believe he's still called. But it's coming. My promises are sure. When I say I will do something, I will do it. But you're not going to see all the fulfillment of this. And Abram here finds out that some of these things aren't even going to be fulfilled. His descendants, you know, he's come into the land. He's lived in Canaan for a while. He had to go down to Egypt for a while. And then he's finally back up in Canaan again. He's Lot separated and he's, you know, off in his part of the territory. Abram's still over here living, working, serving the Lord faithfully. And here now he's finding and hearing from God that they're not staying there in Canaan yet. This isn't the final fulfillment of that promise. It's not now that Abraham's there again and okay, now we get the land. No, it's still going to be, you know, your descendants are going to go in down into a foreign country and be servants for 400 years. And then I'll bring them back. And Abraham got to be going, man, this is a really delayed set of promises. But yet, he knew that God was faithful. God does keep his word, even though it may take a whole lot longer than you and I wish it would. When Christ went back to heaven, he promised us that he is coming again and he will take his bride to himself. It's been quite a while. It's been 2,000 years, give or take. It's been a long time. But he is faithful. He will fulfill that word. It will happen exactly as he said that it will. Nothing, not all the powers in earth, not all the powers in heaven, not all the powers in hell, nothing can stop God from fulfilling his promises. They will be fulfilled exactly how he said. But you and I have to be patient because it doesn't happen in our time frame. We see that in the beginning of chapter 16, Sarai, Abraham's wife, she says, hey, you know what? Let's get this ball rolling. Let's get this happening. I'm not having any kids. You're not getting any younger. Let's get this happening. And she takes her handmaid, her servant girl, and she gives her to Abraham for a wife. And here Hagar has a baby. Oh, great! Now God's going to fulfill his promise. Woo! Yay! No. That wasn't God's way. That wasn't what God wanted. That wasn't God's promise. But guess what? From all indication that we can pick up, that I can find here, God waited till Ishmael was 13 to tell Abraham, no, it's not going to be Ishmael. Abraham, for that whole time, is going, all right, God's going to fulfill his promise. I've got a son now. This is amazing. Everything's coming together. When Ishmael's 13, God says, no, Ishmael's not who I was talking about. I'm going to provide. Okay, Abraham, listen. I told you I was going to give you this land, and I was going to fulfill all these promises. You made the assumption it must be through Eliezer because I don't have any kids. No, it's not through Eliezer. Now you went over and you decided you had a baby with Hagar. Oh, okay, now it's going to be that way. No, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be you and Sarah. I know that that doesn't seem logical. It doesn't seem possible from a human perspective, but I have promised and I will do it. God says, hey, I'm going to make a great nation of Ishmael too because he's your son, but he's not the promise. He's not the fulfillment of that promise. And here he, again, specifically makes great promises to Abraham about what he's going to do, and specifically says this is going to be through Sarah. Abraham was finally 100 years old when Isaac, the promised son, was finally born. God made these promises initially to Abraham when he was 75. 25 years later, a little baby boy is born. He had need of patience. God's promises weren't going to happen today. They were going to happen because God said them. But Abraham had to patiently believe and trust that God was faithful. So he's finally 100 years old, and this little baby boy is born. Glimmer! This is the first glimmer of the promises are going to be fulfilled. I've now got this child whom God said is going to be the one through whom this is fulfilled. Finally, feels like God is moving forward with fulfilling his promises. It says Abraham believed God. He trusted that God could and would do what he said he would do. But it was a long time. It's been 25 years. Finally, those promises are beginning to be fulfilled. Chapter 22 comes along as though to pop his bubble. It came to pass, beginning with verse 1 here, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, or test him, prove him, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I've waited 25 years for the first glimmer of this promise to be starting to be fulfilled. I've been in Egypt. I've been over in Amalek's country during different droughts. I've had, you know, struggles and difficulties. I've had all of these things, my patience, I've been patient, I've been faithful, and finally here's the beginning and the glimmer of hope of these promises are being fulfilled, and I've got my little boy Isaac, and we don't know exactly how old Isaac was at this point, but we could speculate he's probably around the age of 15, 12 to 15, 16, 17, something like that. He was old enough to very confidently carry all the firewood needed for an offering, not only to the base of the mountain, but up the mountain for the sacrifice. So he's now gone 25 years waiting for this little baby to be born as the beginning of the fulfillment of these amazing promises God has made. Now it's been, you know, maybe 15 years since that he's just been reveling in and watching and enjoying his little boy growing up. If I sacrifice Isaac and start over again, how many more years is it going to be? Isaac's finally, you know, maybe 15, 16 years old. He's getting old enough. He's, you know, he's learning things. He's growing. He's learning about God. He's beginning to show the potential of the man who he will be someday, who God has said will, these promises will be fulfilled through. And God says, all right, go sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And I love the faith of Abraham here. He did not say, but. He didn't pause for a second. It doesn't even say his response, because it wasn't important. He didn't have anything to say. God told him what to do. The very next phrase says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. There was no question or doubt in Abram's mind whether God was crazy, whether God knew what he was saying, whether God was going to fulfill his promises, whether this was something he was, you know, how is this going to work? And all these things, we're told in the New Testament that he believed that God would just raise him from the dead. He wasn't concerned about it. He didn't know how it was all going to work out, but God said, do this, and he simply went to obey. Because he believed that God was faithful. He had already patiently waited and seen God do miracles to bring this to pass. And so guess what? If God says this is what I'm supposed to do, he is more than capable of doing whatever miracles are necessary to still fulfill his promise, even though I am now on my way up to Mount Moriah to offer up my own son as a burnt offering. God's promises are still going to happen. My job is to be obedient. I don't have to figure out or know why or how or what it's going to look like or how it's all going to come together. I simply need to trust and be obedient. And guess what? If God wants me to be patient for another 25 years before I see these promises begin to come to pass, that's fine. He's the boss. He's in charge. He's my king. And my responsibility is not to know how everything's going to come together, but to patiently trust him. To patiently trust him and obey. Well, we know the story. He climbs up the mountain and he builds an altar and he lays the wood out on it. He ties up Isaac and puts him on the altar and he's ready to go ahead with the sacrifice. He has the knife in his hand. He's got it lifted up and the angel of the Lord said, stop. The angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here am I. He was ready. He was obedient. He was in the process of following God's command. He was ready to offer his son. He didn't know how it was going to look, how it was going to work, but he knew God had it all figured out. He trusted him. And he said, the angel said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You and I, brothers and sisters, need to keep our love to the giver, not wrapped up in the gift. You know how easy it is for us to get wrapped up in the gifts that God gives us? And we hang on to them really tight and God gave it to me. God. But what if God asks you for it? Are you willing and able and ready like Abraham to go, okay, you gave me this son miraculously. If you want him back, he's yours. The blessings that God gives us on a daily basis, do we hang on to them as though now they're ours or are they still God's? And God provided a ram for them. There was a ram caught in the thickets. He got it. He sacrificed it. They returned home. This is God showing Abraham again. He's faithful. His promises are going to be fulfilled. And Abraham's still just patiently waiting. He wasn't going to get all bent out of shape if he had went ahead and offered his son. He knew God was going to work it out somehow because God's promises will be fulfilled. I'm sure he was thankful that God provided a lamb and he didn't have to offer his son that day. But he was ready. He was ready. We go on through the life of Abraham here, and we see Sarah dies. And Isaac now is 40 years old. Abraham's 140 years old. The promises were first given when he was 75. He's now 140 years old, and he still has a single young guy living at home. This child of promise has no way forward to see these promises brought to pass. He has no wife. Abraham is certainly not interested in him taking a wife of the girls around, of the heathen that don't love the Lord and don't fear him. God directs. Abram sends Eliezer. Eliezer goes. He gets Rebecca. He brings Rebecca. They get married. Abram's now 140 years old. Now I'm going to begin to see this promise come to pass. Nope. Guess what? Rebecca was barren for 20 years. Rebecca was barren for 20 years. This child of promise is now 60 years old, and the promise still doesn't feel any closer than it did when I was 75. I was 75, God made these promises. I was 100 when I first saw the glimmer of this little one coming. This is now 60 years later, and this promise is still no closer to being fulfilled according to what human eyes can see than it was 60 years ago when Isaac was born. Because Isaac's married to this wonderful girl who loves the Lord and loves him, but she can't have any children. How are you going to have these nations as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heaven when you can't have any children? He's got one little boy that all these promises and hopes are hanged on. And this one little boy has married this girl, and she can't have any kids for 20 years. Abraham's 160 years old. But God's still faithful. And Abraham still trusted God. He still stayed faithful, and he was patient. At 60, it says that Isaac entreated the Lord for Rebekah, and God heard him and gave her these two little baby boys. Abraham, now 160, 161 years old, finally seeing the beginnings of that next step 60 years later. And those little boys can't get along. One of them isn't even going to be part of the promised seed. But he trusted God. He trusted God. That God was able and would keep his promises. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 8, we get a summary of the life of Abraham and his faith and his faithfulness to God. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know, but he obeyed by faith. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He was in this promised land that God had said he would give to him, but he was still as a stranger there. He still didn't actually have this promise fulfilled. It says he dwelt as a stranger in this country that was promised to him, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Well, she was way past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham's life could be summarized in one word: faith. He was faithful. He was faithful. It speaks of these who died in faith. And it says they had not yet received those promises, the fulfillment of those, but they saw them afar off and they were persuaded of them. They firmly, completely believed and held fast to those things. They were assured of them. They were persuaded of them, and he says, and they embraced them. They hung on to them. They believed the one who had made these promises was faithful to keep his word. Brothers and sisters, we serve that same faithful God. And we are called to simply trust him, that he is in control and he will bring these things to pass. And yes, it may take years and years to see certain things that we desire and pray for and long for come to pass. And ultimately, our desire is to be with him in heaven. We have to walk this way faithfully first, patiently, leaning on him, depending on him. God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, and I thank you for your word and for your clear working and demonstrating things in the lives of these men and women of God in the past to show us your faithfulness, to give us an example of their patience and their belief in you, their trust in you, and their faithfully walking and depending on you in spite of the many times just not seeing or not being able to fully comprehend or understand what you were going to do and what you were doing. But Lord, they believed that you were faithful and they held on to that. And truly, you were, as you always are, from everlasting to everlasting. Help us, Father, I pray, as we go through our week, as we go through this life, to count you faithful, to embrace the promises that have been made to us, to be assured of them, to hold to them, to build our lives on the foundation of who we serve, that he is faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen.